Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of Islamophobia and the 2020 election. Today, we continue in our study to examine the sample questions for candidates. These are the questions which were put together by CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. These are the questions from which the liberals and the Muslims will find out who is the one who stands for the Muslims and who will be standing against them. And from answering these questions, they can eliminate all the conservatives from coming to power. So without further ado, here is the third question.
Number three, freedom to practice one's faith. Do you agree that the U.S. Constitution and state laws are not threatened by citizens privately following their own religious codes, such as Jewish halakha, Islamic sharia, or Catholic canon law, as long as such religious codes comply with U.S. law?
And here we go, America. Another sneaky question. That's how Muslims talk. They want to compare Islam to some Jewish traditions or some Catholic traditions. And did you notice here in the question, they're saying, as long as such religious codes comply with the U.S. laws. Well, I'm glad they put that in the question, because believe it or not, nothing, that's N-O-T-H-I-N-G, nothing in the cult of Islam can comply with the U.S. law. Because everything about Islam goes in the opposite direction of the U.S. law. Muslims have the guts to make such statements because they know nobody in America has a clue what is in the Sharia Islamic law. Let me give you a couple examples here. In Islam, you do not have the choice to leave Islam, because if you leave Islam, you are put to death by the Sharia Islamic law. Does this comply with the American law? Second, in the Islamic belief, in the Islamic faith, as CARE put it, Muslim women must be covered in hijab. And the husband and the father and the brother have the right to force their females to be covered in hijab. And if you choose not to be covered in hijab, like we have seen it in many cases of honor killing in America, these females will be put to death. I'm not talking about leaving Islam. I'm talking about just having the freedom for women to wear whatever they desire. And I wonder, what would be the reaction of those candidates who will answer this question by saying, yes, I agree, or I support? If in the near future, Muslims who will be becoming powerful in this land will start practicing these Sharia, which is Islamic laws, which have no compatibility with the U.S. law. And now let us listen to the background of that tricky question.
Background. In the past several years, more than a dozen states have adopted copycat anti-Sharia or anti-foreign law, legislation whose sponsors invoke Sharia as the reason behind the legislation. Moreover, the Republican National Committee website's current Listening to America survey currently asks if survey takers are concerned by the potential spread of Sharia law.
Now, my friend, you understand why I said that this is a tricky question. Because it is about, will you allow the Muslims in America to practice their Sharia as the Jewish practice their laws and the Catholic practice their laws? And what a huge difference between Sharia and any of the other laws people in America with religious background practices. Sharia goes against anything else that exists here in America. Because if we will not allow the Muslims to practice the full Sharia, then they're not practicing any Sharia. And they will start with the ABCs of Sharia. And if we allow them to do that, the day will come and the Muslims will practice all the way from A to Z of Sharia, meaning the entire Islamic laws. And that is when you kiss all other religions in America goodbye. And any other practices in America goodbye. Why? Because Sharia said that Islam as a religion will be completely to Allah. That is the final goal of why Muslims want to practice Sharia in America. Well, let's move on to the next question.
Number 4, addressing white supremacy, Islamophobia, and xenophobic hate. Do you plan to address the rise in white supremacy or white nationalism in the United States? Do you plan to address the rise in Islamophobia and hateful rhetoric toward Muslims in the United States? Will you affirm that America must stand against xenophobic sentiments directed to members of Muslim, Sikh, Hindu, Arab, Middle Eastern, and South Asian communities?
And here is my warning for all those who will say, yes, I will, yes, I support, yes, I pledge. Because what you are going to pledge to is actually the ending of the First Amendment. Which means you who will say, yes, I will do that, must lock people like me in prison. Must end the existence of anyone who will speak against the Muslims in America, because that is exactly what the Muslims are aiming for in that question. What is Islamophobia? Again, this is what we have spent hours and hours together in our study. It is simply a propaganda spread by the liberals and the Muslims to end the First Amendment, which means from now on, anyone who will criticize Islam will be locked up somewhere in some prison, or maybe actually will be killed, because this will lead the Muslims to practice Sharia fully in America. And in Sharia, if you say anything against Allah or Muhammad, you must be put to death. That is the ultimate goal, my dear ladies and gentlemen, who will say yes for such questions. Well, what about the next question?
Number 5, addressing religious accommodations for inmates. Do you support the right of Muslim and Jewish inmates to make religious accommodation requests for halal and kosher meals?
Don't you love it, America, that Muslims in America are very concerned about the Jewish people, and they want to make sure that our legislators and those who will be running for any office must accommodate the Jewish people? And in reality, the same gentleman who wrote that question hates the guts of the Jewish people all over the earth. And by the way, he hates America too. But notice how they squeeze the Jewish people in the midst of their talk all the time. Because after all, the Jewish people have their kosher food. And we want to make sure that everybody gets treated the same in America. No, my friends, this is what I call the hogwash talk of the Muslims. Because you and I know how much Muslims hate the Jews and also all non-Muslims. But the question here, will you support the Muslims to have their halal food as you support the Jewish people to have their kosher food? Well, let's move on to the second point under the same question according to accommodating the inmates.
Do you support the right of Muslim inmates to make religious accommodation requests for religious headwear like hijabs, kufis, and other head coverings? Do you support the right of Muslim inmates to make religious accommodation requests for copies of the Quran and other religious texts, prayer mats, prayer beads, and other religious items? Do you support the right of Muslim inmates to make religious accommodation requests for modified meal schedules while fasting during Ramadan? Do you support the right of Muslim inmates to make religious accommodation requests for daily congregational prayers and Friday religious services?
So in simple words, my friends, question number 5, which is addressing the religious accommodations for the inmates, can be summarized in one simple sentence. Will you support Muslims in our prison system to practice Sharia Islamic law? That is exactly what the question is all about. And now let us listen to the background of that question.
Background. Many Muslim inmates face unreasonable and excessive harassment from prison staff and officials for requesting basic religious accommodations, such as for halal food, Qurans, and other religious texts, prayer mats, kufis, hijabs, the religious headwear, and modified meal schedules while fasting during Ramadan.
And when they say many, I do not know what do they mean by many, because from my own experience in our ministry with our prisoners, I found out to be astonishing that we cannot send our materials to the Christians in the prison who requested, simply because they are telling me my material is hateful. Why? Because somebody from CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, those who are writing to us these questions right now, wrote to the prison system and said, you should never allow Usama Dagdok's materials, the Straight Way of Grace ministry materials, to be in the prison. But trust me, I will challenge CARE to show me what prison in America or what jail in America where some Muslim inmate was forbidden to receive all these things they are requesting. With all respect, this is simply lies from the bottom of hell, and Muslims of CARE or others need to know it.
The Straight Way of Grace Ministry is excited to announce the creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstood Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arises from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. To order these new booklets, please visit thestraightway.org for more information.
Well, let's move on to the next question.
Number 6, opposing CVE. If elected, would you use your office to support or oppose countering violent extremism, CVE, initiatives and programs on any level of the government?
And before I reveal to you why Muslims are asking that specific question, I want you to listen to the background of this question so that you may understand what the CVE is.
Background. In 2011, the U.S. Department of Justice announced a new anti-terrorism initiative, Countering Violent Extremism, CVE, with the seeming objective to deter U.S. residents from joining, quote, violent extremist groups by bringing community and religious leaders together with law enforcement, health professionals, teachers, and social service employees. However, Muslim and allied communities nationwide have rejected the CVE initiative for its primary focus on and singling out of Muslim communities above all other communities for surveillance and criminalization. The Trump administration has further made it clear that it plans to use CVE to solely target American Muslim communities.
So now, my dear friends, we know that Muslims hate the CVE, which is the Countering Violent Extremism of Civilians. You see, this program was put after September 11. For what reason? To stop the Muslim jihadi organizations from growing all over America and multiplying all over America. This program was not put for the Christians or the Jews. I know that the liberals and the Muslims today are using the white supremacists and other titles of different groups for the hope that they will say that we are blending the Muslim jihadi, the Muslim extremists, with other groups in America. But in reality, these are just propaganda determination by the liberals and the Muslims. Because the problem we have in America is not white supremacists or any other group, but the problem we have in America is the Muslim believers who believe and practice Islam. So for the CVE to do their job, they have to look at what Muslims are doing, what activities Muslims are involved in, if it is a mosque or a Muslim camp in America. And as a matter of fact, we know for sure that CARE, who are putting all these questions for our new government officials, themselves is a Muslim jihadi organization. And how did we find out that? We found out that from the Holy Land Foundation trial, from which we learned that CARE, like the rest of the Muslim jihadi organization in America, who are running their businesses as a non-profit organization, were collecting the millions of dollars which they sent to Hamas to launch attacks to kill the Jewish people of Israel. That is exactly why CARE hates the CVE. And that is why they're putting these questions to elect the new government officials to fulfill their desire, which is leave the Muslims alone. We will have our freedom. We have our First Amendment right and the Second Amendment right. And we'll continue to grow in America, that the day will come and we will launch our attacks to destroy America from within. That is exactly the words which were written by the hands of the Muslim Brotherhood in America, like CARE and the other 29 groups. Well, let's move on to the next question.
Number 7, right to commerce. Do you support businesses denying entrance or service to customers based on their perceived race, religion, or nationality?
And once again, before I critique that question number 7, I want you to listen to the background so you may understand why Muslims particularly quoted that question for our official candidates.
Background. Several businesses declared themselves, quote, Muslim-free zones or denied service to Muslim patrons in the decade.
Now, as a question, where does that exist in America? Have you ever been to a store selling food or clothes or any hardware or any material in America who have the sign, we do not serve Muslims in this business? Of course, that does not exist. But what Muslims are writing here is what I call the deceptive words. Why? Because these Muslims will tell the business, for example, if you are an owner of a restaurant, they will tell you, you cannot serve unlawful food. You cannot serve haram food. You need to serve us halal food, or otherwise, you're not welcome here. You see what's happening here in America? Muslims are here to control America, and they will use that technique to make you look bad if you don't serve the food which they request of you. They already told us that in a previous question when they talk about how we should accommodate the Muslim inmates. By serving them halal food at the right time during the month of Ramadan. That is literally changing America to make it Sharia compliant. Well, let's move on to the next question.
Number 8, living wage. A growing number of cities and states are exploring the possibility of increasing minimum wages to better support low-income workers and families. Do you support increases to the minimum wage federally set in 2009 to $7.25 to correspond to the cost of living?
Well, let us listen to the background of that question so we understand what is exactly in the agenda of the Muslims here in America concerning the living wage.
Background. According to Interfaith Worker Justice, in 2012, a working mother of two earning $7.25 an hour lived below the poverty line.
Now, who are these interfaith movement in America but liberal Christians, whom I do not consider to be Christians at all, liberal Jews, a bunch of atheists and Buddhists and Sikh holding hands with the Muslims to accommodate the Muslims and let the Muslims have it their way. And why are they complaining about the living wage? Because they want those who will work in America to make more money, especially those who have more than two children. Because it's not fair. And guess who in America has the most children? These are our Muslim friends. So who will be benefiting the most? Our dear Muslim friends, the workers who have plenty of children. In a way, look at it, there's nothing wrong with that. But in the long run, as you continue to see what else Muslims have in their agenda for the Muslim workers of America, then you'll figure out, now it does make sense. They want the Muslim workers to make more money. By the way, this will not help any business in America, as I have seen it myself all over this country. Now, when I go to McDonald's in all the big cities in America, they have less people working there because they got a machine to take my order, and they got a machine to make my sandwich and my French fries. It is amazing. Technology are replacing human workers. So good luck with higher wage for workers, because these workers will have no job at all. Well, let's move on to the next question.
Number 9, paid sick leave. States, cities, and countries across the U.S. have adopted paid sick time laws. Do you support reforming federal law to require employers to provide paid sick days for all workers?
Well, we do have laws in America where when people get sick, they get paid through their sickness. But once again, you may ask a question. Why Muslims are so concerned about the paid leave for the sick people? Well, you understand that when we take question number 10, and then we'll give you the final conclusion. Why they put these questions 8, 9, and 10.
And number 10, paid parental leave. Millions of American workers who are new parents go without paid parental leave, maternity or paternity leave, or the option to take additional parental unpaid leave, impacting working families nationwide. Do you support reforming federal laws to require employers to provide at least 6 weeks of paid family leave and at least 12 weeks of unpaid leave as already afforded to federal employees?
So now we're talking about every new family, the papa and the mama will have 6 weeks vacation to take care of their baby and they get paid for it. Guess who will benefit the most of this new policy? Oh, the Muslims. You know why? Because that daddy will have his beloved wife with plenty of babies. This is reality. The growth rate in the West here in America is less than 2.1. But among Muslims, it is skyrocketing. So which means these wonderful new parents, the Muslims, who will continue to have babies in America, will continue to have paid parental leave. And that fit perfectly with the previous two questions concerning living wage and paid sick leaves. And this also will make the Muslims like heroes because they're fighting for the justice for the American people. By the way, this is exactly the agenda of the socialist and the communist. And to continue our study of Islamophobia and the 2020 election, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.